Everybody, good morning, Lizella Baptist Church, group number two. Amen. I preached in the 8:30 service, I think. It was kind of early, so I kind of slept through some of it. But I had a donut and a cup of coffee since then. That's like an energy drink for me. So that was really good, and I'm ready to go. I asked Brother Rick just now, I said, he handed me the mic, and I said, I'm ready. He said, calm down a little bit, calm down. I was like, man, I'm ready for the gate to be open, so... Boy, it's a joy to be back here, and it's great to have you guys just come in here and just squish in here and sit. Man, this is awesome, though. You know, I'm like, through all the construction y'all have going on and through all the things y'all do, you guys are still giving, still going, staying faithful. This is so encouraging for a missionary who really depends on churches back home here in the States to stay faithful and keep going and not slack up, because often in the years past, I've came in and I've seen things go the opposite way. I've seen churches decline and the building not going on the giving. I had a church one time that told me, Brother Mike said, we love you and everything, but we're building a new building, so we're dropping all of our missionary sponsorship until we build the new auditorium. I thought, oh my soul, man. But anyway, I appreciate the fact that every month, you guys are always faithful. And I'm sure praying for us, but also giving to New Life Children's Home and our ministries there in Peru. We had a great time last year with the group that came over, and I'm looking forward to the group that's coming this year. But I want to do something real quick before I preach, and that's to show you a few slides here that they're going to put up here. And, of course, if those of you that don't know me, my name is Mike Kennedy, and my wife is Shalene. She's with our youngest two, Zane and Michaela. They're in North Carolina right now. Michaela graduates this year from high school. And then we have three older children, Michael. He is 23 now, and he is actually on what's called a world tour. He graduated, finished school at Liberty University over Thanksgiving, and then he started in January. He's going to 11 countries in 1 year to share the gospel. So he's in Chile right now and headed to Argentina next. So anyway, appreciate your prayers for him. And saying that, and I forgot to say it this morning, but I talked to Brother Rick a couple weeks ago. We talked, and I saw I'm looking forward. We had it on the books to come here, and I said, I'm looking forward to coming here and everything. And the very next day, I went to the mailbox and got a check from Mikey that y'all's church gave toward helping Mikey on the world reach to take the gospel to these churches. And I want to thank you so much. Thank you for giving to help him do that. He was so excited when I took a picture of it and sent it to him. And so he doesn't have internet much, but when he does get it, he goes and he writes us, tells me where he's at and all that. And I sent him that. He goes, please tell him thank you. And so anyway, thank you so much for doing that. And then that's for Otis. And then Josh, he's one on your right, my left right here. He graduates from college this year. He's in his last semester. He's a pilot. And then, of course, Zach, the one in front of me right there, he's 19, and he's finishing up his second year of college, but he spent last semester in Ecuador. So thank God for our family, and y'all have been such a blessing to us. I'm going to go through these kind of quick because I got something I want to preach to you. But the next one is going to be where our children's home. Those of you that have never been there, I know y'all have seen some slides and stuff, but this is from the mountaintop right in front of our children's home, and it may even be hard to see back there. So Jen and them have the copy of all these, and Jeremy and all of them. Matter of fact, I sent them, I think, twice to Pastor Rick, so he's got them all on his phone, too. So if anybody needs them, he'll be glad to send them to you. And so this is our children's home, just us, some interns and the kids, some more children in our children's home there. That's my wife sitting with several of them right there in the yard there at the home. And this is Fabricio. I don't know who it was in this group the other night said, we always look for Fabricio. When I was looking through, I said, I got to put his picture up. But that's just one of the boys and several of the kids. Now, this is little Alex right in the middle. I love that boy so much. Golly, bum. I even got a gift from him he gave me for Christmas today. But Alex is right in the middle there, and he was with all the kids there, and they were saying bye to him. And now when I talk to him, they're like, how's Alex? Have you seen Alex? So now I get to tell him I saw Alex today. So anyway, there's the kids. And this is a little boy that we brought into our home this last year, and over Christmas gave gifts. So, you know, that's, so I just want to show you a couple of pictures of some of the kids here in our home. Every one of them are so precious. When they come into our home like this, you know, from their past and things that they've been through, and some of them really young don't even know it yet, but anyway, to be able to take these children in and teach them what the choir was just singing, what we all sing just now about when God sets you free, it's amazing to see what God can do and take a situation that we look and think there's no hope and it's so bad. But what God can do in the life of a person, of course, David and Seattle, one of the Sunday school classes here that I was got to sit in a few minutes ago, sponsor them, and Lord willing, they will be able to be matched and adopted in just the next month or so. And this little girl right here was adopted. Her and her two sisters, she actually lives in Alabama. So this is our school there in Senegia, our Christian school. Lord willing, we will have over 200 students. Now, this ministry reaches out to a lot of kids that are in really rough situations, drug abuse and all kind of abuse going on in their homes, so their families aren't Christians. Now, this is a wild-looking bunch right here. It's kind of hard to see them, but maybe those shirts look a little familiar. This was your group from last year. So along with the children's home, the school, and the churches, we also get to go out and evangelize. Now, these pictures right here, this is a... When I was here a couple years ago, I told you we're having another container of Bibles come in. So when you come down as a group or you send your teams over, they don't have to take suitcases of Bibles like they used to have to take. Now we have them shipped. So this was a container of almost a million copies of John and Romans, New Testaments, Bibles in Spanish that we take out and hand out on the streets saying, un regalo, a free gift, and give those Bibles out. Tell them I'm a little excited about this. But anyway, that's us unloading them at the children's home. Now look at these kids right here. This kid right here in the front is praying with several behind them, and they're praying, and we're leading them through the sinner's prayer as they ask Jesus into their hearts. These are in the public school systems. This is our soup kitchen that we go out and get to make fried rice. The groups do. We take it out that day, and we go into these schools, go into the villages, go into the military bases and all these places, and we feed them lunch. But first of all, we always share the gospel with them, and then we always give them these Bibles. Now, this right here is something special. And I meant to give one of these, put up, but I will get you a picture of this so y'all can show it at another time. But this is a teacher. I went into this school at the end of November. I went into a school not too far from where our children's home is, but it's been one a little difficult to get in. We got to get in. But last year when the group was there, I made a statement. I said, I wish years ago we did a soccer outreach, because everybody plays soccer. When they're born in Peru, they're born with a soccer ball. And so they all play soccer around there. So anyway, I said, I can get into these schools and tell them I'll have a tournament and play soccer, and all these schools come, and right in the middle of it, get to share the gospel with them. That's incredible. I said, I'd like to have some little medallions to be able to give to them, because they can't afford just to go buy this stuff. So I said, I'd like to have a medallion with a soccer ball and a Bible verse on the back, Romans 10:13 on the back. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I told that, and Sister Jen and the group, and came back. Next thing you know, a couple months later, I have, how many thousands did I get? I don't know how many thousands I ended up with. But anyway, that's it with a Bible verse on the back of it. And the lady that you just saw, the teacher there, I went into a school and shared with over 250 high schoolers and shared the gospel with them, gave them all one of those and a Bible. So that was tremendous. But anyway, I want to show you. This is a class. You can't see it too clear right there, but they're holding a Bible in one hand and the medallion in the other one. So that just happened. This last year while the group was there, that's with Lizella group, and we're there. And we went to a place we'd never been to. And this last year and every year, we're going to places that are brand new that we've never gotten into, schools, villages. And this particular one was a police station, and they mounted. They ride the horses there in Peru. And so we got to go in there, share the gospel there, and they were showing us around. And next thing you know, we look up as we're leaving, a big, large school was there to show them the area there, the police station. And so we went, got to go over, and I said, can we go over with a group and give them Bibles and share with them? We got to go over, give them Bibles, and share the gospel with them over there. This right here, I'm standing in front of a group of military police and sharing the gospel with them. There's another group of military praying. This is all officers right here that we got to go in the beginning of the last year. This is a prison that we got to go in and share the gospel. This is a school with just thousands of kids. Get to share the gospel with them. And then this is a little girl up in one of the villages not far from our children's home. She just stole my heart when I saw it. So I said, I got to take your picture. So I did. But I got to give her family the gospel. And I know I talk about a lot of this stuff. Listen, we build shanties. We go into the homes and feed. We build homes for the widows. And we bring in the orphans and the abandoned into our home. We have churches. Yeah, I can tell you about all that, but all that is secondary to this right here. Getting the gospel to somebody. Brother Rick said this morning as we close, he said, you know, the doors are open, and he's been to many countries. I'll let him share that in a minute. But the doors are wide open for us to share the gospel. The doors are wide open to go in and love on people and give them the love of Christ. And how wonderful it is to sit right here and rejoice and celebrate that love. There's nothing like going out and handing it to somebody and showing it to them and seeing somebody come to Christ, or inviting somebody to come to church and they sit beside you and get to hear the gospel preached. Amen? But it's through La Zella Baptist Church that I get to thank you, stand here and say, because you make it possible for me to be able to do that. You make it possible for me to be able to host the groups. And I'm looking forward to the group that's coming this year. Now, I want to say this. I want to put a plug in right here. Maybe you've never come, but you've always said, because I have people from this church that come up and say this to me. I've never been, but I know it's impacted people's lives, and it's been a lot to our church, and one of these days I'm going to come, and I want to come. Well, I'm telling you, a group's coming this year, so really pray about it. I know everybody can't come just because I want you to, but it'd be nice if you could. But anyway, just pray about it. It'd be a great time, and we get to go out and do these things for the Lord, share the gospel, and you have a story that can really change somebody's life and make a difference. So anyway, thank you for letting me share those with you. I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles this morning, if you will, please, and look in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20 and verse 6. Acts chapter 20 and verse 6. And, before I forget, thank you for the hospitality. Brother Rick has taken such good care, and you guys have taken such good care of me. Man, from snacks, the hotel room, to getting to go to a fellowship the other night with one of the Sunday school classes and eating chili and cheese dip. It was out of this world, and fellowship sitting around a campfire, even though it's supposed to be 70 degrees, I thought here. It was about 30, felt like 20, but that was still fun because of fellowship. And also, then last night I had the joy of going over to see my dear friend Alex and Beth and Rich and eat at the Oscars and spend some time with them, and which, you know, that was really special to me. So anyway, and then getting to see y'all's faces, I really appreciate that. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I can't convey my appreciation for all you guys, not in the limited time, because Pastor Rich said I had only 2 hours to preach. So I don't want to spend all of it, you know, congratulating. I want to, you know, and thanking you and all that stuff. So get right into it. Anyway, a while back I was, let me read this. Stand with me. And we're going to read just a few verses, pray, and then you can sit down. All right, it's Acts chapter 20 and verse 6. We'll read from verse 6 down to verse 12, and then you can sit down. We'll pray, and then you can sit down. The Bible says in verse 6, Acts chapter 20, verse 6, "And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and come unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper room chamber, where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even to the break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the joy, the privilege, the honor of coming to your house to be able to open your book, to be able to sing and to be able to worship and to be able to hear from you. Lord, I do hide behind the cross this morning, and I pray that, dear Heavenly Father, you would use me, use my words, the words that you give me to say. And I pray that you speak to our hearts and speak to my heart, and Lord, draw us closer to you. You know what we need. There's no way that I could possibly know what anybody needs, but Lord, you know what we all need. And I also pray, Lord, that if somebody's coming to this church that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that they'll realize they don't have to leave this church today lost. Lord, would you just speak to our hearts as Christians as well, those of us here that know you as our Savior. Lord, I know the devil fights on every end. But Lord, I'm so thankful that, like we sung a minute ago, those who you have set free are free indeed. And we thank you, the Lord, that you are ready and willing to forgive us once again. What a God you are. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. A while back, now let me say this. If I tell you that I will preach for only 20 minutes with you, will you listen the best you can and focus on me? Raise your hand if you agree to that. If I tell you I'll preach for 20 minutes, all right, pretend I said it, okay? Just pretend it. Just pretend I said it and you listen. But a while back, I was in a Starbucks. I was up and preaching in Ohio. So I went into a Starbucks that morning, went to get a coffee. And I'm not a big any particular people's coffee people, but I went in to get a Starbucks there. And so I was standing in the lounge looking over. Man, I saw this pastry that I wanted really bad. It looked real good, but it was about like $6 or something, you know. And I'm like, dang, I really want that. It looked great. And I'm just sitting there, and as the line moved up, I was still looking. I'm like, man, I ought to get that. That looks so good. And I got up there, and a lady threw out a question. I knew this guy was standing right beside me, and he had his phone down like this. From I didn't know he was just standing with his phone. And I was like, man, I want that. And the lady says, what would you like to have? I said, oh, I'll take the special today. I'll take that small $5.50 coffee you got. So I got the coffee. About that time, that man stuck his phone up there and paid for it. And I'm like, dang, if I would have only known that you were going to pay for that. You know, I was like, that's what I was thinking. I was like, nah, I got two of those things. But anyway. Yeah, have you ever said to yourself, if I would have only known? You know, in my life, my Christian life, it has not always been easy, and I've had some challenges just like any of the rest of you, and I've enjoyed my life. Brother, good to see you today. And so anyway, I enjoy what I do. I enjoy getting to serve the Lord and live for Him. It doesn't mean that I've got a perfect life and don't have problems and difficulties and struggles don't come. I'm like just like you, just like the rest of you. There's a few times I've said in my life, man, if I would have only known. But as I read the scripture tonight and I read that and I think to myself as Eutychus was there, Paul had come in and Paul is preaching and they know that Paul, the man of God, is about to leave the next morning. They know that he's going to get on a ship, he's going to leave. So there they are listening to him and they gather together so willing to hear him that he preaches past midnight. That's a long time. And we complain sometimes. We go, you know, I'm going to see how many complain when I go 2 hours. No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, so they were there listening to the man of God preach, and it goes beyond midnight. And the Bible says that this young man, Eutychus, goes over, and he sits himself up in this window, and the Bible says he goes into this deep sleep, and he falls out three stories, and he dies. If he'd only known. I don't think Eutychus had any idea that he was fixing to fall out of that building. Some people say if you knew you was fixing out of fall, if you fell out of a building, fell three stories, you'd have cussed too. That's why they named him Eutychus. But I don't know. But he fell out of that building. He fell out of that building and he died. And I sit and I think there, what if he would have only known? And you know, Scripture doesn't tell us right there. That those verses right there do not tell us why he placed himself in a dangerous situation. I mean, how stupid is that when you come to think of it, when you read this story, you think, are you kidding me? This guy really goes up in a window and he falls asleep and he falls out. How stupid. And sometimes you just can't fix stupid. That's what I say. But the truth is, if you'd only known. And as I read through that scripture and it doesn't come out just plain dayside and say, okay, well, you know what? And he lists these things and this is why Eutychus got up there and this is why he fell and this is why he died. But then over the years, as I read the Word of God and as I live the Christian life and as I go through some of these things in life and I see the way I react and I see the way I respond and I see the place that come into my life and I say to myself, if I would have only known, I would have done this. I'm sure Eutychus would have said the same thing. But as I read through Scripture, I also find this. The Bible clearly gives us reasons why he may would have been in that window. And I just want to take the next few minutes here and I want to share with you just a couple of those reasons why he may have been in that window. And I don't know, maybe today you'll find yourself and you can relate to some of these places. And if you can, I want to challenge you and I'll give you the title of my message. Don't go to sleep like that. I don't know why specifically he was there. That's on it. Yeah. I don't know why he specifically was there, but let's look at a few of the reasons. Number one, it could have been that he was uncommitted. Maybe he was there, maybe he was there and he was sitting there, and you know what? He was there, he was close enough, he was where he wanted to hear the man of God preach, and he could hear all the great things that Paul was preaching, and at the same time, though, he wasn't committed enough to get away from the window and just hear the preaching. He was there, but he was also had his heart on the things outside in the world. Maybe there were some things out there he just couldn't let go, Brother Rick. Maybe he was just sitting there and said, okay, I see what's going on in the church. I can hear the man of God preaching, but my heart's out here. And maybe you come here today and the truth is maybe you're on the membership and maybe you come faithful and maybe you're here every time the door's open, but that don't mean you're committed to Christ. Maybe you're doing everything on the outside right, but on the inside you're sitting on the windowsill and it's a dangerous place to be perched up there watching and listening to everything Brother Rick and everything Brother Chris and everything your Sunday school teachers say and everything the Word of God says. You're doing it right on the outside, but on the inside you know you're uncommitted. You're not committed to Christ. You're not fully in for living for God. I see it often. I go into great churches just like this that are living, they have every opportunity in the world to serve God. But you know what? They're over here sitting on the windowsill, and some of them sitting in the pews just like today, you and I, and their hearts are committed to the things out in the world, and they just can't seem to let them go. And I'll say something to you this morning. If you relate to that, don't go to sleep like that. You know, it's kind of funny because I'm preaching this because the thought is at some point, unless you work tonight, you don't go to sleep in the morning, but at some point, you're going to lay your head on your pillow and you're going to go to sleep. You know, throughout the Word of God, sleep represents becoming stagnant, not moving, not doing anything, no life. But here, I want to give you a couple of scripture. You say, well, Brother Mike, where does it show that in Scripture? I'll tell you why I believe it could have been that reason. Take a look, if you will, and I think they'll put it on the screen, but it's, first of all, James 1:8. The Bible says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Here, where Eutychus placed himself in a tragic situation, can I say this? You have a lot to lose. You say, what are you talking about, Brother? I'm talking about your families. I'm talking about your children. I'm talking about the things that mean the most to you. The devil comes as a thief, and he's doing all he can to steal those things from you. He don't want the things that don't mean anything. He come to rob and to steal and to kill. And so while that's going on in your life, if you're not committed to Christ, listen, you're playing in danger. You're in a dangerous situation. Don't go to sleep like that. And what it's saying is, hey, listen, you can't please yourself and please God too. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, you can't preach, be faithful and not be faithful. You can't tell others to give and not give. You can't say sacrifice and don't sacrifice. You can't say go and never go. You can't say give and never give. Hey, listen, what he's saying is be committed. Be committed to God. And I ask you this morning, are you committed to God? If not, my dear friend, you have placed yourself in a dangerous situation. Yeah, but Brother Mike, I'm in church. Well, so was Eutychus. He was right there listening to the man of God preach when he fell out that window. Several years ago, I got to lead two boys to Christ in Ottakeep up in the mountains, and they got saved, and they came to me and said, Brother Mike, said, we are saved. We got saved, but our mom and dad said, if we get baptized, they're kicking us out of the house because they were devout Catholic, and they said, you cannot do that. And I said, well, listen, you just go back. And you be committed to God. You live for God. They'll come around and see it. Months goes by. Year goes by. Next thing they come to me, and little by little, next thing you know, their parents started coming to church and they got saved. And then they showed up and we got to baptize those boys. And those boys, they were 15, 16 years old. And we got them, they were almost adults before they got baptized. But you know what was awesome? Is they were committed. They said, we're going to live for God until our parents can see it and see what we want to do. Last year, I had the privilege with Faith and Nathan to officiate their wedding. And I thought about this a lot since then, because that day I shared that the perfect estate of holy matrimony is committing yourself to one another. And it reminded me of when my wife and I got married, soon to be 24 years ago, but I know I don't even look that old. I know that. Matter of fact, I saw a young boy driving down here, three children that were adopted from our children's home. They live in South Carolina, Hector, Sale, and Frame. So I go by and see Hector the other day, and we're sitting around, and he's at the age of my second son, Joshua, fixing to be 23, actually, the age of my boy, Mikey. And so he's asking how old they are, and I'm telling him. He says, does that make you feel old? And I said, not really. I mean, you know, I still go. You know how we are, men. We don't face getting old. And he says, I said, why, do I look old? And he said, yep. I said, you're telling me I look old? I said, how old do I look? He said, 40. I said, yes. Sorry on me. But anyway, we share with that a forsaking all others and being committed. Why should we expect that from our mates and not think that God expects that from us? It just ripped inside of me. And I thought, God, I know you want that from me. The same as you want it from couples and me and my wife. And you want it from me to you. So I asked you this morning, are you committed? Not perfect, just committed. If you find yourself in a place of not being committed today, may I challenge you not to go to sleep like that. The second reason, and I'll haste through it, is weary. That sounds strange, a preacher get up just talking about weary. Well, you know what, though? There's scripture that tells us. The Bible says in Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Maybe he was disappointed. Maybe he was going through a lot in his life. Maybe things wasn't going the way he wanted them to go. Maybe he was tired and he was weary. Maybe he had trials in his life. Maybe he was just drugged down, and maybe he really just wanted to quit. But yet he was there. And he went over and he sat in that windowsill, and maybe he was just so weary that he just dozed off and went to sleep, and it cost him his life. Maybe somewhere he was so weary that he lost perspective. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says this, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let me give you another one. I know this is kind of weird to even say this. It seems like it's weird. If you're not committed, don't go to sleep like that. If you're weary, don't go to sleep like that. But the next one, serving. You say, Brother Mike, now you come in here and tell us serving is bad, serving is wrong. Serving itself is not the problem, but it's when the act of serving replaces your worship. Could you imagine with me that evening when they all gathered in there, the Bible says they had many lights, so they had the candle lights, and they were packed in that little room, like what we are today, and packed in there, and they were in there and fixing to hear the man of God preach, man. They had their candles and everything. I imagine it could have been like this. Eutychus could have had the best seat in the house. But he looked over and he saw an elderly gentleman come in, or maybe a widow or someone that come in the door. And he said, you know, I'm going to give my seat. So he walked up and he ushered him in and said, take my seat. Maybe he went back there and he crawled up in that windowsill. Serving is not the problem unless your service has taken the place of your worship on the inside. I mean, it's not about coming to church. It's not about singing. You know, singing is just as bad about lying if you don't mean it. And maybe he was, listen, I say this for the Sunday school teacher. I say it for the choir member. I say it for the music director. I say it for the preacher. I say it for the missionary. I say it for the one who cuts the grass, the one who cleans the bathrooms, vacuums the carpet. It doesn't matter what you do in this church. Don't let your service replace your worship. Because the moment you stop worshiping and begin to just do the service, you're serving with your hands and not your heart. God looks down and says, I'm looking for someone perfect. I'm looking for someone that will commit themselves to me. I'm looking for somebody that when they get weary and they get tired, they don't give up. I'm looking for somebody that won't just do the service, but will worship me. Now imagine maybe that evening he did all the serving, but he lost some worship. Can I tell you, if you relate to that this morning, don't go to sleep like that. I don't know. I don't know where you are. I have no idea. I know a lot of you personally, and I love you like family. And you know that I mean what I'm saying. Some of you, I don't know who you are, and I don't know what you're struggling or going through or how the devil's fighting you. But if you relate to the fact that you're doing the service, but you're not worshiping on the inside of your heart, Don't go to sleep like that. I'll bring you to the next one. Careless. Careless. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Maybe he wasn't paying attention, Brother Rick. Maybe he really didn't realize the danger because he was being careless. And though he was in the right place at that service, when he went over and sat on that windowsill, maybe he didn't even look down. Maybe he thought, there's nothing that can happen to me right here. And let me tell you, maybe you've had victory after victory after victory after victory in your life. I know what it's like to get victory over something, and then later the devil come back and fight me on the very same thing that I got victory over years ago. He's never going to stop. He's never going to give up. But the moment you become careless and think that there's not a devil that's after your marriage, after your children, after the things that God has blessed you with, you become careless. He got up in that windowsill, and the Bible says he slumped over and he fell off three stories. I really doubt that he looked down and thought about it. Man, I better be careful. I could fall down there and kill myself. And I guess I just want to remind you today that there is, just as much as there is a God that loves you, there is a devil that hates you. There is a devil that doesn't want you to get victory in your marriage. There's a devil that doesn't want to give you victory over the sins in your life. There's a devil that we taught in Sunday school that's talking about being vulnerable. There's a devil that wants to believe you're not able. There's a devil that doesn't want you to be make yourself vulnerable and trust God. There's a devil that wants you to give up. There's a devil that wants you to be careless, thinking, well, it'll be okay. And God looks down and says, man, you are able, but you're not able without me. Don't be careless. So if you find yourself today in this place, don't go to sleep like that. I'll give you my last one here, and it's unaware. It's a little different from the careless. Unaware is the fact that there's some people that do not know, they have no idea what their eternity holds for them. Two things I want to say here, really, is number one, Lizella Baptist Church, you have been a support for us. You have invested, you've sacrificed, you've come to visit, you've given. I don't know true needs that I've ever shared that y'all haven't helped me with. To be honest, you have always been, and you're our biggest supporter, you know that. And I just want to say how much I appreciate it, but there's people, and we can show you pictures of thousands getting saved. And that's fun, but you know what? I almost feel fake when I say this, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. I'll show pictures of thousands and places we go to. Brother Rich, I don't even feel like we've touched the hem of the garment. I don't feel like we've done anything, especially to stand up and brag about. It's all been God. It's all been an opportunity that we've had. One day we won't have them, but right now we do. And there's people out there that are dying and going to hell, and they're unaware of it. They have no idea. Here, look what the Bible says. The Bible says this in John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son. That neighbor you have may have no idea he or she is on their way to hell. That co-worker you have may have no idea that one day they're going to split hell wide open. And you may not like the way I worded that, and you may not like the way it sounds, but that's not my words. That's the word of God, that if they die without Christ, there is no hope. So we should take it so seriously. We're willing to give. We're willing to go. We're willing to sacrifice. We can slack up. What's impressed me so much is I've saw this building and I see the things that y'all are doing. And I love that. I love to see things improving and growing and all that. And yet you've not slacked up on at all on missions. And that means so much to me as a missionary. One of those things is they don't know what's in store for them. The other one is you can't quit. You can't give up. You can't go to sleep like that. I don't know the true reason why Eutychus got up in that window. I didn't prepare a message for you thinking, okay, this is good stuff for you. I preached to you this morning what was good for me. Because at every one of these things is where I found myself. I found myself uncommitted. And I know what it's like to be weary. I know what it's like to be serving and that service replace my worship. I know what it's like to be careless and let myself get to the place that it's so dangerous that I perched myself up on a windowsill and took an awful risk in losing the very things that mean so much to me in life. And I don't know where you are today, but if you're in one of those places, I beg you, don't go to sleep like that. I can't see nothing else I got wrote down because I got tears in my eyes. I'll end with this. I like happy endings to stories and movies. I like to watch a good movie, but if the ending is bad, I hate it. I forget the only one. But in this story right here, those verses we read down there in verse, I think it was verse 12. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. I realize they wasn't just a little bit comforted, man. God brought life back to this guy. He was stupid. He was dumb. He made a bad decision. He fell out of a window when he should have been committed. He shouldn't have grown weary. He shouldn't have fell asleep. He shouldn't have been where he was. But thank God, he gave new life. Maybe you're here today and you've been struggling with some stuff and it's robbed you from your commitment from God. Maybe you sit here today and you've grown weary. Maybe you sit here today and you do the service, but your service has replaced your worship. Maybe you sit here today and you've gotten your eyes off the fact that there's a devil that's trying to overcome you, that's trying to get you to think thoughts that aren't real, trying to get you defeated, trying to get you to think there's no hope. Man, I love that song. I never heard it before. That song that says you find out that you are forgiven again. Hallelujah. Goodness gracious. Isn't that good? I could run down through the choir, through the church right now. Listen, what a God. Not just a God that would forgive you a second time, but a God that will forgive you again and again and again. Maybe you find yourself in one of these places. I challenge you today, don't go to sleep like that. Because there's somebody that needs you and somebody depending on you and somebody just waiting. And I don't know how God's going to do it and how to use you, but man, don't find yourself perched up in some dangerous situation in your Christian life today. Would you bow your heads with me and would you pray? Several years ago, I had the opportunity to go down and I was witness to a gentleman downtown. He was in his 80s and he was underneath all the cardboard boxes. I went down there and I shared the guy. I woke him up, moved the cardboard boxes, and I said, "Sir, I'm here to give you a Bible." And I think I gave him a sandwich or two and I was talking to him. He reached up, got on his shoulder, and he said, "Sir, I need a miracle." I found myself in that very same place. I wonder today, is there anybody in this auditorium today that say, "Brother Mike, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. But I want to know that I'm going to heaven." The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He saves you just the way he saved me, just the way he saved your pastors, just the way he saved the Peruvians. That's by you putting your trust in Jesus. You say, "Brother Mike, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me?" Anybody like that, would you just slip your hand up so I can pray for you? I won't embarrass you. I see that hand. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much. Anybody, I see that hand in the back. Thank you. Anybody else? "Brother Mike, I'm here today, and if I were to die right now, I'm not sure that I would go to heaven. Would you pray for me? I just want to see. I just want to be able to pray for you." Just lift it up so I can see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody, I see that hand. Thank you, sir. I see that hand to my right. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much. It's funny how sometimes when you're preaching, it's got a Lord connects you with somebody and you see and you just get that feeling, then they raise their hand to be saved. It just brings a joy because knowing that you're willing to call on Jesus and you want to ask him to be your Savior, man, today could be the greatest decision, greatest time of your life. Just by trusting Jesus as your personal Savior. He wants to forgive you. Four people raise their hand. Anybody else? "Brother Mike, pray for me. I see that hand, young man." Thank you, buddy. Thank you. I see that hand to my right. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Anybody else? I wonder if during this invitation you'd be willing to come down and let somebody just pray with you. Somebody take the word of God and just pray with you this morning and you ask Jesus into your heart. Trust me, I know the members of this church here, they're praying for you right now because, man, they're excited today because some folks are going to get saved today. And I'm excited for you. I know this pastor up here is. Those of you that raise your hand, just a moment, we're going to give an invitation. And I'm not telling you you have to come down here and pray that prayer. You can pray it in your seat. There is a God that loves you and He cares for you. And if you ask Him to forgive you of your sins right now and to come into your heart and to be your Savior, He'll save you right where you're at. But I also want you to know you have a church here that'll support you, pray with you, show you, answer any questions. If you want to come down, and just take this pastor down here by the hand and let him know. I wonder today, is there Christians here that say, Brother Mike, to be honest with you, I'm that young man perched up in that windowsill in a dangerous situation in my Christian life. I relate to some of these areas you mentioned, and I just want you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I see those hands. Thank you. I see those hands still going up. Raise it up. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. I see those hands in the back, to the side, in the front. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you. I may not know you, but God knows you. He knows exactly what you're dealing with. Thank God we can come, and we don't have to wait till we fall out of that windowsill before we make that decision. I'm so excited about your transparency and your willingness to allow me to pray for you. And those of you that raise your hand to be saved, in just a moment, we're going to stand. You can pray right there. You can come down here. But I challenge you today, ask Jesus into your heart. Would you stand with me, please? Let's all stand. And I'm going to ask Brother Rick. Brother Rick, you come on, brother.
Let's respond. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. Shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson blood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust. Is the truth the way that leads you into rest? Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He has saved you, He has saved you, He has saved you now.
You may be seated for just a moment. Thank you, Brother Mike. Appreciate you. Tell me about that.
It's too late, brother. You're done. Sit down. Now, let me see what I'm on.
You understand when you deal with Mike,
nothing's ever over, and nothing is ever on time. But he calls it Peruvian time, but really it's Mike time. But, hey, Mike's got some of these little brochures. He's going to be up here, and they'll be around the auditorium. If you want to know more about the home, please see these and know that what's going on in that family. Let me say just a couple words about Peru and Peruvian mission trips. And Mike mentioned I've been to over 40 different countries. I've been to a lot of different places, and I've tried to share the gospel everywhere I go. And I would tell you, I have never in my life experienced a place like Peru, where the gospel, people are so hungry for the gospel and it's so open to allowing you to share the gospel. Whether it's schools, whether it's military organizations, no matter where you go, you can share the gospel. And the door's not always going to be open like that. I'm convinced that the devil doesn't like it, and he's going to find a way to close that door one day. And I tell you, any place where you can stop to buy a busload of people an ice cream and you lead the bicycle guy to Christ who sold you the ice cream is the place I want to be. So if you, I'm telling you, it is like nothing else. And I know there's many of you for different reasons. Get there. Understand how hungry they are for the gospel. I remember watching a man at one of the markets cry in tears because we ran out of the John Mark Spanish-speaking Bibles that we had. And he cried, and we said, hey, we'll be back. We'll bring you one. Because he got there just as we handed out the last one. I'm not sure, but I haven't experienced that in too many other places in my life. So just know. Mike could have come up here today, and he could have listed out a long list of accomplishments, and he could have listed out a long list of needs. He didn't do that. He shared some things, and then he brought a great message that God's laid on his heart to share with us. But here's what I can tell you. He has a long list of needs. When Mike gets a dollar, he uses that dollar for the Lord. So what I want to do this morning is there's going to be some people at each one of the doors. Mike doesn't know this. He didn't ask me to do this. I really hadn't talked, but one person, two people, asked people with the offering trays, hey, would y'all mind doing it? But if you feel led to give him a love offering and to put that in these plates, please, I'm not telling you Mike needs it. I'm telling you, if you want to invest in what God's doing through Mike in Peru, you give it. He don't need your money. His vehicle's going to be all right. And he's up there, dude, man, knock it off. He don't need it. He's going to get it somewhere. But if you want to be part of that blessing, you give as you get ready to walk out. I got to cover a couple of announcements real quick. Don't forget, tonight is our quarterly conference. And it's much more than the quarterly conference. Obviously, it's the last quarter of last year, so we're behind getting that done. It's the end-of-year wrap-up of our budget. It's also the presentation of the 2020 budget that has to be voted and accepted to go into place. Right now, we're operating on, I guess, what we'd call a continuing resolution. I don't know. But we don't have a budget yet for this year, but we're still making things happen. So be here for that. Additionally, we have the personnel committee have some things they're going to present that they need voting on. The finance committee is going to present some things. Other committees have updates to present to you. We do need to vote on, we now have a dollar figure to finish out the park, the track, and those things. We have to have a vote on that dollar figure because I didn't have the dollar figure last time we met. So I'll need a vote on that tonight as well. So I ask you to please be here, be present, and help us to get through those things as we go about the business side of the church as we go through these things. Next Sunday at 4:30 in the gathering place, we'll have a meeting for anyone who's interested in going to Peru. For those that have already signed up, I'll need you to be there. Anybody else that's interested, it's not too late. Be there for that. It's Wednesday night at 5:30, I'll meet with the Alaskan team in the conference room here in Bill Nay. We got to work through a few things there. Don't forget that Brother Rick and Doreen will be here Wednesday, the mission that come through quite often. They'll be here, so come and welcome them and do those things. One other piece of business. So the worship center's going well. We're ahead of schedule. Don't tell anybody, but right now, God willing, we'll stay ahead of schedule. But it is getting to the point where it's quite messy. They're starting to sand. They're starting to do a lot of different things in there. Come Tuesday, they're supposed to dry fall that ceiling. It's going to get extremely messy in there. So what I'm asking you is, on Wednesday night, if you don't need to go through there, you don't need to get inside of that small area, please don't go in there. It is going to be quite messy, and they're going to start doing some other painting and things like that. So please try to navigate around that particular room. Additionally, our church's policy is that if a child is 12 years or younger, they're supposed to remain with their adult supervision, their parents. We're pretty liberal with that, and we find children all over this campus for a number of reasons. Please make sure this is a critical time that that's not happening. We don't need anybody in that CLC or worship center getting hurt, and there's a lot of things they can get hurt with. I really don't need them on the property unsupervised at any time, but just asked you to make sure you take control of that situation or help others as they do that. All right, enough preaching on that. I probably have 50 other things I should have told you. Look in the bulletin and check those things out. I'd appreciate that. Last, certainly not least, let me say this before I pray and let us go. If you prayed to receive Christ, please listen. When you pray to receive Christ, the best analogy I can give you is that you are a newborn infant.
Amen.
For you to pray to receive Christ and not let someone come along and feed you and help you grow is the equivalent of us birthing a brand new child and laying him on this sidewalk and all of us going home and just leaving them on their own. The devil loves to come take control of new infant spiritual babes. Mm-hmm. Please come find somebody and say, hey, I prayed to receive Christ. Mm-hmm. I need you to feed me and help me to grow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you. I thank you so much for the opportunity to worship you, and I thank you for this church. I thank you for these people who have chosen to be here this morning, to lift you up. I thank you for Mike, dear Lord, who's chosen to be away from his family yet again, and that has prepared and sought you and just brought what you would lay on his heart, dear Lord. And I just pray that you would bless him in a very special way, and that you would just take the word that he's been faithful to give, and you would let it grow in our heart, that you would let it just build upon our faith, and that you would help us to grow in our faith and help us to just turn to you and glorify you. Be with us, dear Lord, as we go about the things we do to glorify you. Be with us, dear Lord, as we go about the rest of our week. May we lift you up so that others may see and know you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.